Hey everyone, Dan here. Thanks a lot for tuning in as I kick off another season of the podcast. I'm a middle school teacher and this thing is my passion project, a chance for me to talk to some really cool people in education, share their wisdom with you, and yes, improve my own practice. This season promises to be another good one with some very cool and creative thinkers joining me in the coming months. Today's episode is a crowdsourced one, originally meant to be a season finale, but now moved to a season premiere. Delusions of grandeur over here. Welcome to What's the Big Idea? I'm your host, Dan Carney. Many of you are about to start or have already started the new school year, and I thought it was a good time to check in with some thinkers about what we've learned, we educators, education, what we've learned since March of 2020. The internet is full of lessons learned, think pieces, and lengthy prescriptions on how education should or should not change in the face of a COVID disruption, which frankly is still going on. I pose this question: what have the last 2+ years revealed about education, students, schools, or teachers, or all of the above, to a panel of contributors? And there are so many ways to answer this question, and I intentionally left it wide open to see what they had to say. And be warned, I'll be putting in a big plug for all my guests and the amazing work that they're doing, and I'll link them in the show notes. Setting the table for us is Celeste Kirsch from the excellent Teaching Tomorrow podcast.
When thinking about what the last 2 years have revealed about schools and education, I keep coming back to this article that I just read called Teachers Act Like We're Robots by Iona Literat. And she's basically looking at what young people have been posting on TikTok and what that says about online learning, especially during the first wave of the lockdown. And I'm just so struck by the fact that the system is not working for anybody. The system doesn't work for young people. You know, this study that Literat did, she was looking at how young people are overwhelmed, they're exhausted, they're burnt out, they're feeling like they're drowning in work. And this is really at the start of 2020 when teachers were in emergency distance learning mode. But I don't know if it's gotten that much better. When we're in this state of the pandemic and we're layering on standardized testing, we really are in this contradictory state where we're saying, take care of yourself, please try to avoid burnout, and these are the mental health supports. And on the other hand, we're also saying, testing really matters and grading really matters, and please get these report cards out. It doesn't feel like a sustainable system. Students are overwhelmed, and yet teachers are also overwhelmed and burnt out and exhausted. And we see this by the number of teachers who have left the profession and the supply teacher shortage across the board, and certainly in, you know, where I am in Toronto. It's a more cynical take, but I see it as an opportunity for reconstruction and redesign. We're not there yet, and I don't think that any of us have had the bandwidth to really be creative and dream up new possibilities. On one of my episodes, I talked to Angela Watson, who runs the Truth for Teachers podcast and platform. And she had a really interesting point that I think about a lot, that if we don't have time to be creative, we're just going to keep doing the same things that we've always done before. I think teachers want something different. I think parents want something different out of schools. I think young people especially want something different. And there is a groundswell, there is a desire for it. We just haven't yet had the time to really figure out what that is. We know it's not online learning. We know it's not distance learning. We know it's not this, you know, really heavily standardized testing culture that we've created. So the question is, what will it be? And I'm really excited to, you know, be talking to people who are trying to figure that out together. So in summary, I think that the last 2 years have really revealed how much we need a different system. This factory model of education is broken. It doesn't work anymore. And we're very much ready for something new.
Celeste asks the salient question about education's willingness and capacity to think big and use this moment to come up with some important systemic changes. This is a recurring theme in the contributors to this episode, with varying degrees of optimism. Another recurring theme? The importance of relationships and school culture.
My name is Jonathan Gold. I'm an eighth grade history teacher at Moses Brown School in Providence, Rhode Island. And my view is that the pandemic didn't teach us anything new so much as reveal things that we already knew to be true, namely the importance of relationships in teaching. And so all of the technology and barriers that we face to connecting with one another in schools showed us just how important it is to build relationships among teachers, among families, and among students, and how essential those are to learning, which is something I think we all already knew or suspected was true. And I think this moment of such profound social disruption really revealed just how important those relationships are. I think another thing that the pandemic revealed is just the gap, the socioeconomic gap in schools and access to resources and materials, which again is something that we already knew, but I think the trauma of the pandemic really put at the forefront of people's minds just how wide the gap is in between the haves and the have-nots within American society and the resources and access that people have. And I hope that coming out of the pandemic will address some of those socioeconomic inequalities with more purpose and more clarity, given how clear they became during the pandemic.
Hi, everyone. This is Kayla Duncan, co-author of Learning That Transfers, Designing Curriculum for a Changing World. And I'm an innovation specialist for a suburban public school district. And what I've noticed over the past 2 years is that COVID wrecked our human connection. And sure, I believe that there are things we can do instructionally to motivate and engage students, things systemically we can do to support our teachers. But I think it all boils down to we need an immense focus on connection. I believe the strength and intentionality for our connections can build the culture needed for our students and our teachers to thrive. Right now, with everything happening, with teachers being questioned, curriculum being questioned, we really need that community trust. And I believe that will happen when we have this partnership where all stakeholders are working together for the benefit of our students. Our students, our teachers need to feel safe and supported. And so I think that the biggest revelation is that we need that to be the priority over the academic performance right now. And if we can do that, then we can get to the other outcomes that we expect in education.
John Gold teaches in Rhode Island, as he mentioned, and he's written for Learning for Justice on topics like teaching hard history. I highly recommend his articles, which I'll be linking in the show notes. Kayla is one of the authors of Learning That Transfers, a deep dive into the benefits of conceptual teaching and learning. It's a really accessible look at how we can move away from content obsession in our curriculums and towards more meaningful engagement. More on that notion later. But now let's turn to a couple international educators.
Hi, so my name is Leo Thompson. I'm a British international education consultant based in Austria, Europe, and working with international schools across multiple cultures. So first of all, I think we noticed that the educators really got it done, you know, no matter what. And they faced huge hurdles, huge obstacles, not least the technology, sort of the upheaval in their own lives, having to work from home in lockdown and quarantines. And, you know, this word sort of resilience, one of these R words in education, has come up over and over again, and perseverance and flexibility. And there's been a lot of focus in schools on character traits. I think a real culture of care and giving and kindness has manifested itself. The level of preparedness to manage the pandemic and ongoing student learning differed. And often this was tied to the economic circumstances, you know, socioeconomic circumstances and fortunes of schools and families. So partly geographic. Private independent sector found it easier to switch and revert because of this. And national schools, I'd say, in the global south found it really much more challenging and hard to be really innovative. And although many did, and I read a McKinsey report, for example, in some villages in Africa and India, they were using radio to communicate and teach. And I think in one example, even the village sort of tannoy system from a mosque, I think, was used as well. And so, you know, tremendous innovation, tremendous effort there. I think another area that I've seen a lot more concentrated focus on, we've learned a lot more about mental health and well-being. And these issues have really come to the fore, kind of like, you know, the base of Maslow's pyramid. You know, what has been hidden and what is invisible? You know, what has the cost been to students and staff? Because there's been a lot of mental trauma, a lot of loss. Thank you very much for your interest, and I really look forward to listening to others and their feedback and perspective from wherever they are as part of Dan's podcast.
For me, I think the last 2 years has really surfaced for me and the communities that I work in is really the need for schools to really emphasize the importance of empathy and well-being. We've seen this manifest through how the response to COVID sometimes has felt really varied when perhaps it didn't need to be. And then I think about all the work that schools and organizations and really we need to do globally at, you know, a larger scale to really disrupt systems of oppression. And I think that's all connected and that's all related. You know, when you talk about the disproportionate impact of COVID on BIPOC communities or people who are marginalized, like those are important things we need to unpack. So I think our role in schools is to really kind of reimagine and rethink what our curriculum should be, what it stands for, what are the things we want to teach our students, and you know, really moving away from such a content-heavy and content-driven model of education to a more conceptual approach that really kind of connects to empathy and to well-being. I think there's going to be space held in, you know, when we talk about COVID being over and whatever that might feel or look like for the communities you work in. But I think once you kind of get that point, it's really how do we process and really kind of tackle what some of the important, you know, conversations that have surfaced as a result of this. You know, there's a lot of talk about mis and disinformation happening. You know, we talk about the continued important dialogue around peacekeeping and you know, tackling systems of oppression. I think it's all sort of related in many regards to what education can or should look like in, you know, post-COVID. I think teacher training programs are really going to have to rethink what they're emphasizing as we sort of graduate teachers out of teacher training programs. I think, you know, and at a more practical level, getting people to understand that this is still an amazing profession and you can have such a powerful impact on people. So I joked a lot about the job changing and that comes up quite a bit. And, you know, I've said, you know, oh, I missed the contact tracing class in teachers college. And, you know, those sort of nuts and bolts things of your job that have changed, but really reimagining our role as educators of the whole child, you know, their heart as much as their minds is a really important part. And I think that's what I hope education really focuses on moving forward in this, you know, coming out of the last sort of two and a half years of such tremendous disruption and upheaval.
That's Leo Thompson from the Council of International Schools and Tanay Nayak from the UN School in Hanoi, Vietnam. I was really thankful for Leo's perspective, especially regarding the Global South and the recognition that less economically developed nations found innovative ways to reach their students. Our Zoom fatigue certainly feels like a first world problem when you hear his descriptions of radios and mosque minarets being leveraged to reach kids. And I'm sure many of you were nodding along with Tanay when he talked about the need to rethink our content-heavy curriculums and turn towards a model that reaches all students, especially our most marginalized. My next contributor, Nick Covington from the Essential Human Restoration Project, says, yeah, we had a golden chance to change things, and we kind of blew it.
As one article I read in 2020 put it, the coronavirus didn't break America, it revealed what was already broken. And at the risk of sounding pessimistic, I think we had a real opportunity amidst disaster to reimagine nearly every institution, from healthcare and education to work and leisure. But in the absence of a positive agenda for what that could look like, which I would argue is in part due to some groups using the pandemic to drive a political wedge between communities and schools and parents and teachers and students, I think the pandemic precipitated an existential crisis as we continue to reevaluate our relationship to the world. And I think it's one that teachers are living and struggling with every day in our classrooms. What's all this for, anyway? But I think the silver lining, if such a thing can be found, is that people both inside and outside of formal education were galvanized by their circumstances to demand change. If not for this, and not now, when? And they've used that energy to both help themselves and their communities to resist the siren song of normalcy, say, by rejecting surveillance technologies, centering student health and well-being over grades and test scores, and drawing hard lines for safe working and learning conditions. And I think for schools in particular, it has revealed the transactional nature of students' relationships to schooling. So we need to offer more than scores if we expect students to treat school as more than just a means to an end. Or students have found that the return to normalcy means once again not thriving within those traditional definitions. So we need to help students reconnect to the world in positive ways and help them maintain those vital lifelines to the world outside of school. We need to be partners and mentors in once again finding their path to purpose.
Nick ends there with some thoughts on helping students connect to the greater world and find some purpose, which is a perfect segue to Julia Fliss, an educator in Colorado who has some concrete tips for us all.
Multi-layered answer with a very clear top layer that digs deep for me is the importance of connection. I'm not talking about just physical space. I'm talking about connection with self, so radical self-care, importance of relationships, and really looking at what matters to our community at the level of our common humanity. Nothing has taught me more than riding that roller coaster of life with my kids as we navigated the pandemic and then navigated our way out of it. The pandemic literally focused our attention on not just our individual and collective well-being, but also brought to light our interdependence and our shared fear. In this way, it kind of called us to see the truth within the systems that have guided us, that are guiding us. And instead of experiencing all of that as victims or as passerbys, I guess, we chose to look at it straight on and see it as experiential learning at its best. And I would have to say that as we made sense of things together, we created new pathways to new understandings of ourselves, each other, our learning community, and the world. So what kind of skills are we talking about bringing into our classroom? Self-care, like that radical self-care toolbox I just mentioned, along with what we are now titling decompartmentalization strategies, right? So strategies that we're using to pull ourselves out of the boxes that we purposefully put ourselves in, whether we're talking about a Zoom screen or a Zoom camera or a screen from a computer or our home or that isolation feeling of gotta stay in, gotta stay withdrawn, gotta stay closed in because of fear. We also brought in media literacy, critical thinking and conversation, especially about events that happened during the world, or events that happened in the world during the pandemic, the art of storytelling, whose story is showing up, whose story is missing, and questioning. Yep, the art of questioning. More than anything else, the last 2 years have inspired some of the deepest questions I've ever heard from kids in my 20 years of teaching ever. From what's healthy to, wait, what's toxic? And is that toxic? And how do I tell the difference? To how can what happens in India happen like that while what happens here happens like this? Recognizing that we're that global ecosystem, these questions literally reformed us into the humans we are today. So what has been revealed? Ourselves. Look at root causes of why we are the way we are, why the world is the way it is, and how to understand ourselves from the inside out and the outside in. If I ask a kid that question, one of my favorite kiddos is actually right here, right now, and I asked Quinn that question. He said, you know what? Biggest learning I had is that teachers don't actually live at the school, right? So now he sees teachers as humans, and I see us, ourselves, as these beautiful beings who get to create an understanding of ourselves, our learning community, and each other in a way that draws in experience and honors the amazingness, the amazing beings that we all are.
As you could probably tell from that clip, Julia has a keen interest in helping her students make self to local to global connections in their work, giving her students that sense of a larger purpose. What about our purpose? What about teachers who got out there and get out there each and every day and put in the work of inspiring students and cultivating tomorrow's change agents? Leo made a point to praise teachers who got it done these past 2 years. And my final contributor, well, she so eloquently explains. That's why we're here.
My name is Jessica Kirkland. I'm a high school English teacher in Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. I think the last 2 years have revealed that to show up in schools each day and connect as humans and engage in the process of learning and failing and growing together is truly an act of resistance. Education is under attack. Teachers, school boards, curriculum, and with new legislation in many states, even the students and their families are under attack. We are the ones that hold this line together. To show up each day and connect with one another when so much tries to divide us is an act of resistance. To see and treat each other with dignity and humanity when so many policies seek to strip it away is an act of resistance. To engage in the hard work of thinking critically and honing our skills and gaining knowledge is to resist the idea that there is little hope of a better future. It's to resist the idea that nothing can change. And it can be challenging and difficult because it's asking us to constantly commit to something bigger than ourselves, to a collective good and well-being in the face of so much strife and conflict and dehumanization. It's an endlessly human endeavor. But there is profound hope to be found in every classroom in this country. However the world rages on around us, and it does, inside our classrooms, children are still children. They bring with them all the goodness and lightness and possibility that children have always possessed. The ability to help them form connections with one another so that they can protect each other and engage meaningfully and recognize their shared humanity and share their knowledge with one another so that they can build and tear down and create and reimagine will always be the most important aspect of education. It's the connections that sustain us and make us stronger. It's the whole reason we're still here doing any of this at all. And if it weren't so important, it wouldn't be under such attack. And it's a line worth holding.
Wow, how about that as a closing thought? Jessica Kirkland with some very poignant words on what it means to teach in 2022. A big thanks to all my contributors for sharing their views on what the last 2.5 years have taught us. If you're interested in learning more about the work of these contributors or contacting them, check out the show notes for more information. For my part, I want to reflect a bit on what Julia said about the pandemic being experiential learning. If we're not connecting teaching and learning to real life, then we are missing golden opportunities. That has always been the case. And the pandemic is real life. It's what we all were going through as a society, as a planet. And the idea that students somehow missed out on learning, or there was the dreaded learning loss, it's just bullshit. We went through the pandemic together. We continue to go through it together. And if we are not tapping into this shared experience in schools, in our classes, making those connections. Yes, learning might look different. Right? Schools that insisted on sticking with the old testing regimes and the old curriculum, yeah, they missed out. And yes, they probably couldn't figure out how to make that square peg fit in the round hole. But the pandemic changed things, or at least gave us the opportunity to. It's that experiential learning that schools could shift to on a permanent basis, whether it's project-based or some other model. But the pandemic opened the door for us to look at education differently. And I hope that more schools embrace that. Thanks so much for listening and checking out this episode of What's the Big Idea? Another season kicks off now, so check back in later for episodes with big thinkers and people doing some really cool things in education. Best of luck to you all starting a new school year. Take care, everyone.